relationships, your yoga, to make your human relationships the vehicle for becoming free rather than the vehicle to stay entrapped. And what is required is a shift in the way in which one looks at relationships, what they're about, what their function is. We have come out of a psychological morass. Freud and all of the personality people took us down a road. It's hard to appreciate how deep in it we are, how deep in the doo-doo of personality, how real it all is. I mean, you all think you have needs that must be met. You all think you have personality identities that must be honored. And even as I say that, I can feel you get tight, defending your right to have those things. Isn't that true? I can feel it in myself, too, you know. I have a right to be angry. Damn right I do. We'll wait, you know, there's no rush. When you finish that trip, we'll still be here. Because awareness isn't in time. It's just here. You want to enjoy your neurosis? Enjoy. Enjoy. Have more. Have another helping. Really climb in. We have gotten so thick in it, and so you're either getting into it through abuse of this or that, or you spend the rest of your life getting out of it, which is all giving it, that plane of reality, so much juice. And you look at your relationships from the point of view of your separateness. How will you fulfill my needs? I'll be who you need me to be if you'll be who I need you to be. Now, that kind of symbiosis, that's all fine if you don't get trapped in it. But if you get trapped in it, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare rooted in your sense of separateness. It's like feeding the illusion of the separateness, which is the root cause of the pain. So if the game is to be happy, the question is whether fulfilling your needs makes you happy, and whether fulfilling your needs makes you any happier than not fulfilling your needs. It's an interesting one. It does for the moment, there's no doubt about it. But if you notice that when you live on the realm of needs, the minute one is done, another one appears. You have a hierarchy of needs. It's like a motivational hierarchy. I need food. Now I need ice cream. Now I need television. Now I need a cold drink. Now I need some popcorn. Now I need to go to bed. If you notice that, you just go from one need to another, and each one is, and then, and then, and then, It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. Now, these are all going on all the time. We all have needs and desires. We all have all the stuff. But just like I'm not going around being a bald man, I am bald, relatively speaking. To those of you that don't have eyes to see. But my consciousness is not full of baldness. It's an also-ran. Sure. In my hierarchy of desires, if I have the power, yogic powers that Patanjali talks about, I'll create a beautiful head of hair for myself. As a whim, just to I did it on the astral plane, so those of you that can see know that that's... And if you see the way in which people get encrusted in their personalities, you can look at somebody and the way they stand, the way they dress, the muscles of their face, the redundancy is staggering of a person saying, this is who I am. This is who, they're basically saying, this is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. So you see helpless people going down. This is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. Then you see bankers. This is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. You see car salesmen. This is who I think I am. This is who I am. Just laid back hippies. Hey, man, this is who I think I am. Hey, baby, this is who I am. And everybody gives you a little matrix. They're walking down the street with it out of the Doctor Strange comics, these huge mind nets. And the net goes out and it catches you. And you immediately go into the, I'll make believe you are who you think you are if you'll make believe I am who I think I am. So you don't even